We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged, and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of being members of your family, Lord. Thank you for Jesus Christ, whom you sent for us, Lord. You remembered us in our bondage, and you sent your Son to come and save us, to deliver us and heal us and restore us, and we thank you for that. Father, we want to bring ourselves under your word right now, and we ask you to teach us, show us through wisdom and revelation, Lord, the calling on our lives, the hope of it, Lord, and what our inheritance is, Lord, the incredible power that's at work within our hearts. Show us everything we need to know, Lord, so we can become everything you've called us to be in your Son, Jesus Christ. And everybody says? Amen. Right. Just want to say as well before I start, he's not yours, so I'm not blowing smoke anywhere. At that meeting on Friday night with the other leaders, our senior elder here stood up in front of every one of them, and he humbly spoke to all these leaders, but he carries authority. He really does carry authority. He is connecting people in this city that haven't been connected for years. Yeah? God is behind this thing. So I would ask you to continue to pray for what the Lord wants to do in Newport and Cwmbran, Cleon, whatever it is, Mega, the surrounding areas. God is working and he's bringing his church together where it's supposed to be. So please pray behind that, okay? Hallelujah. Right then, let's get our first scripture up. Thank you. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash, you'll have to excuse my pronunciations here, right? Jehoash became king, and he reigned for 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah from Beersheba or wherever. And Jehoash did what was right, okay? He did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. I want to talk about a difference between gift and character. Gift and character. It says here that Jehoash became a king. So once upon a time, he wasn't a king. When he wasn't a king, he had no position. He had no authority. He had no power. He had no purpose. But then suddenly he became king. Now, as a king, he has position, he has authority, and he has purpose. He has position, he has authority, he has purpose as a king. Now, how many of us realize that before we were saved, we had no position, we had no authority, we had no purpose? But when we were saved, it says that Jesus Christ made us kings and priests. All kings and all priests, a dual mandate. If you have received Jesus Christ, the day you got saved, you became a new creature and you became a king, because we're called to rule and reign on earth through Christ Jesus. Is Jesus a king? Where does he live? No, in us. I want a trick question, right? It wasn't. He is in heaven in bodily form, but his spirit lives in us. We are in him, he is in us, we are one. We are kings, and we're called to rule and reign on earth as kings. Just as God said in the very beginning, the way it was meant to be for Adam was to have dominion over all the earth, to subdue it, to bring it into subjection and to rule it. That is what we are called to do. Now, whether you feel like a king, and please forget the gender issue here, right? There is no male or female in the kingdom of Christ, right? Let's think of it on a spiritual level. As a king, whether you're male or female, we may not feel like we're ruling and reigning, but that is the call. That is the position we have, the authority we've been given, and the purpose to walk in. So we are kings. Now, he had somebody called Jehoiada with him, helping him become the king. He didn't do anything other than what he was instructed to do by Jehoiada. Jehoiada means the knowledge of the Lord. So Jehoash lived, when he lived in harmony with the knowledge of the Lord, it said that he began to restore and rebuild the temple. He put plans into place. He was building. He was doing. And it says that he did what was right to do. Every one of us is called to help build and restore the temple. Now, whether that be, it's on a personal level, because this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This, corporately, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are called to build, to restore, to repair the temple of God. So we began building and making repairs. I'm going to call this the functional issues. I loved it what Gaz had prayed this morning. So I thought, thank Gaz, confirming the word. Well done, matey. Thank you very much. Functional. Functional. We have a function. That's our purpose. To do things. To help repair, to restore, to build. Whatever gifting you have, whatever talents you have, God is asking us to employ them in the building and the restoring of his temple, both personally and corporately. And when you do that, it says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. It's a good thing to do that. So he gets, using his administration gift, his public speaking gift, his strategic gift, everything that he could employ into the building and the restoring of the temple, he did it. He organized everybody. He sought out other giftings, developed them and delegated responsibility. And he was doing all the good stuff. It was all right in the eyes of the Lord. Look at this verse. If I can get it. There you go. Verse 3, but the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. So here he is doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord in verses 1 and 2. And in verse 3, it starts with, but. Is there a but in our lives? But. I just want to let that think about that for a second. You can be doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord, but. Do you know in the kings, there was 42 kings and one queen. Out of the 42 kings and one queen, there are 35 or so references to either they did evil in the sight of the Lord, or they did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but. I don't want to be one of them kings where there's a but hanging over my life. And we have to ask ourselves a question. I'm going to go into this now and ask ourselves, is there a but in my life? What are the high places? First of all, they were demonically placed. The high place was an altar of a foreign god. You had gods such as Baal, Molech, Asherah, Ashtaroth. These were gods that they brought in from other nations and were set up in the land of Israel. they would, their acts of worship to serve these gods were things like sacrificing your babies while they were still alive in fire, and they would play drums to drown out the screams. What for? Prosperity. So that my life won't be ruined, I'll get prosperity from this god, I need to sacrifice my child. Other gods demanded sexually immoral practices for fertility reasons. There were other gods that they would, for their harvests, they would have to do other things which would also involve very much fertility type things. But these gods were present in the land, and Jehoiada did not remove them. So he was doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord as far as the temple was concerned. He was functioning at a high level, organizing, speaking, doing, delegating, whatever it was, repairing and building, but he didn't deal with the high places. They were demonically placed because God says that these false gods were in fact demons. So Satan was trying to infiltrate the land from a demonic perspective to get people trapped and enslaved in false religion or false practices, immoral practices. They also previously existed. Many of these altars were already there before Jehoiada was even born. We live in a society where we have a generation being born into a world that is already prepared for them, that the world says this is socially acceptable, and they know no different. They don't know any different. It's the way things are. We have people born into families which are dysfunctional, who are being abused and beaten and treated terrible, and you may be a victim of that yourself. But to them, it's the norm because they don't know any different. People worship at altars that are not made by God. And they employ practices in their acts of worship. These were in the land, many of them already, a part of society. And we end up accepting ungodly practices because they are being pressed on us as the social norm. We are living in an age when we are seeing the transition from what is unacceptable to acceptable in this world. And we are being pressurized in many areas to conform to the norm of what the world is dictating. It's telling us you must leave the high places alone. Let them remain. Thirdly, they have purpose, these high places, to create a distraction and enslave the followers. The sole intent of these high places is to pull people away from God and destroy them. That's it, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what high places are for. Fourthly, they represent the immoral issues that we ourselves have allowed to remain in our lives. Personally, the but in the verse just indicates our failure to address them and remove them. And I'll go into this a little bit more. So Jehoash focused on the Lord's work. It's great, isn't it, when we focus on the Lord's work? It is. Thank you. It is great. He spent his days building the temple of the Lord. He was doing a good thing, building God's temple. We see it as the church, or even our own lives to a degree, in terms of sharpening our giftings and doing the functions that we've been called to do. But he failed to take care of the moral issues in his life. We are called to rule and reign as kings over our own lives in body, soul, and spirit. And my question to a lot of us, including myself, is, am I allowing immoral high places to exist in my body, in my soul, and even in my spirit? Am I failing to address them and remove them? Hallelujah. Bear me a second. So how does this apply to us today? I'm going to open up the New Testament now. Now we've seen what's written in the Old Testament. And I'm hoping that what is commonly known in Scripture for many of us will have a new angle on it. I went backwards. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, reasoning and imaginations, and every high thing. Every high thing. This word here, I've written it in there, denotes an elevated barrier, a place where Satan demands worship. He demands obedience. Every high thing that exalts itself against what? Jehoiada. The knowledge of God. Jehoash was doing great while he had Jehoiada with him. He was doing the functionality of it, but he didn't listen to the moral side of it. And I'm going to show you that now. Because he failed to remove the high places. So Jehoiada must have taught him to remove the high places, but he didn't do it. Hallelujah. Every high thing. Every high thing, it's inclusive. Thoughts, arguments, imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And if you're honest, how many could put their hand up? And I'll put my hand up now. Some of my imaginations go astray sometimes, and I have to bring them into control because they're going against what I know to be God's word. God's will. Thoughts that I have of how to behave, which go against the knowledge of God, go against Jehoiada. Some of them are strongholds. A stronghold means it's a fortress. I can't penetrate it. It controls me, and I'm not controlling it. How many of us have behavioral problems or maybe immoral problems that we know are not what God wants to us, but we can't seem to break free? It's a stronghold. Jehoash failed to remove or deal with the high places in the land. And the Lord is telling us we need to bring into captivity, yeah? All those thoughts, imaginations, and strongholds, bring them into captivity, into obedience to Christ, and do what? Yeah. Punish them. Punish them. When the kings took the right view, and I love Josiah, because when Josiah became king, it says that somebody read to him the book of the law. He says he tore his clothes and he said, flipping heck, he said, God is going to destroy this place if we don't deal with all that rubbish out there. So he went out of his way, and he didn't just pull these things down. He says he ground them to dust. And then he sprinkled the dust on the prophets of these false gods to defile every one of them. I mean, talk about radical Christianity. That's all in. All in. Gifting versus character. It's one thing to build our lives on doing what we're instructed to do in terms of our gift and calling. Our function. This is all based on what involves me, in me putting into an effort of restoring. You know, I might be doing certain stuff in the church or outside the church even, which is very godly, Christian good things, good works, and they are right to do them. God says they were right in his eyes, so don't discount them. But am I neglecting the high places in my life? Those patterns and belief structures, my behavior, my attitudes, my opinions, which do not reflect the God that I serve? Am I allowing them to remain? Am I neglecting to address them and remove them and crush them? Get out of my life. I don't want you anymore. Many of us, if we're honest, seek God's will according to purpose. Function. Lord, what do you want me to do? What's my gifting? What's my call? And we get distracted from asking the question, who do you want me to be? Are we only seeking what we're to do and not dealing with who we are to be? So questions here. And I'm putting myself in the shoes of everyone I mention, except for wives, because I don't think I can cut that just at the moment. Liberty group leaders. People can see what we're doing, but can they see who we are becoming? Worship team members. People can see what we're doing, but can they see who we are becoming? Eldership team. Welcome team. Children's and youth workers. Those who are doing works outside of the church. People can see what we are doing, but do they see who we really are? What are we becoming? Husbands. Do you love your wives? Agape, your wives. Husbands, do you treat them well when they behave what we think is badly, when they speak to us badly, when they do things which are outrageous? Not that my wife ever does anything like that. But the word says agape, no conditions. Yeah? Or do I raise my voice? Do I speak harshly? Do I sulk and moan and complain? Do I criticize? Who am I becoming? Wives. Wives. Ooh. No picking up chairs and throwing them at me, okay? Wives, do we respect our husbands? How can I respect him? He's a plonker. One, it's not based on his behavior. It's based on what the Lord wants you to do for him as to Christ. So do you respect him? Do you submit to him? And I know some men, it's really hard to submit to with some of their ideas and their thinking. But are we submissive? The wives are instructed that they can change their husbands, not through teaching them. Do you try to teach your husband? No, he says, with a quiet and gentle spirit. Is this hitting home? Singles, do you keep yourself pure? You still want to play around until you find the right one? Are you dedicating this time of your life when you're not attached to anyone to pressing in and finding out where God's taking you in your life and becoming the best version of you that you can possibly be in that kingdom? Unemployed, are you actively seeking work? Or have you resigned to the fact that you're just going to sit on your backside and let the world pay for you? Over 50s. I guess there's a few in you because I could hear the sniggers. Over 50s. Have you clocked out from being a part of the kingdom? Are you not discipling anyone anymore because you can't be bothered? Or do you realize that because you're still on earth and you have breath, God has a purpose for you? He needs you. He needs you. He doesn't have to have you. He could take you home at any minute. I'm 55, by the way, so I'm speaking to myself. He could take us home at any minute, but he chooses not to. Why? Because there's more. There's more. Don't pack your bags just yet. Who we are, sorry. Who we are is not defined by what we do. Yeah? But what we do will be defined by who we are. Because your gifting may get you somewhere, but it's your character that's going to keep you there. Jehoiada made a fatal mistake. He concentrated on what he was to do, and he failed to work on who he was to be. And something happened. You see, the high places are a test to our spiritual morality and a measuring stick to our level of spiritual maturity. So they are there. How we respond to them, it will reveal how morally pure we are or how spiritually mature we are. If we leave them there, I'll show you what's going to happen. So rather than just seeking the Lord for what I should be doing, maybe I should be giving more time to seeking the Lord about who am I actually becoming? Am I gentle? Am I kind? Am I patient? Am I teachable? Am I approachable even? Am I faithful? Can I endure hardship for long periods of time? Because those are the things that will define what I end up doing and staying there. If my character is weak, then what I end up doing will be broken. It will be crushed and destroyed because my character won't be able to keep me there when the hard time comes. Who am I becoming? 2 Chronicles 24, 15 to 18. I'm going to be landing this, as they say, soon. But Jehoiada, the knowledge of God, call it that, grew old and was full of days, and he died. He was 130 years old when he died, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and his house. Now, after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders or the princes of Judah came and bowed to humble and beseech. They bowed down to the king. This is Jehoash. And the king listened to them. Now he stopped listening to Jehoiada because the knowledge of God had suddenly gone from him. A distraction has brought something else into his path. a situation, a circumstance has arisen, and now it's the princes of Judah that are beseeching him, listen to us, listen to us. And he listened to them. Therefore, they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served. And the word there means to become enslaved or in bondage to wooden images and idols, and wrath come upon Judah and Jerusalem. If he'd have removed the high places in the beginning, like he should have done, there would have been nothing there for him to turn to. But because he didn't deal with those issues, when the hard time came, suddenly now he's lost his vision for his future. I don't know what I should be doing. Maybe your position is taken off you. Maybe your function is taken away from you, and you've lost your identity. So I now turn back to the high places, because they're still there. But because my identity is wrapped up in what I am doing, and that's been taken away from me, what's left? Who was I? Who was I when I was doing all that stuff? Was I a devoted follower of Jesus, full of the Spirit of God, full of joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost? Or was I just going through the motions and failed to address the issues that I've carried through from when I was born? He did what was right as long as he was being instructed by the knowledge of God. But these high places, in 2 Corinthians 10 exalt themselves, press in on, and try to eradicate the knowledge of God, so that we end up serving and following that train of thought and that belief. If our identity is totally wrapped up in what we do, then when what we do is taken away, we're left with nothing. I remember, some of you know my history, pastored the King's Church in Swansea for 8 years. There came a time when I was called up with Julie to the office in Newport, and Ray said, we feel now that the leadership needs a change, and we'd like you to hand over the leadership to Dave and Emma Morgan, who we trained up as leaders in our fellowship. And you know what? I believe in honoring leaders, yeah? King's Church, Swansea was not my church. It was a church that I planted for Pastor Ray. So as far as I was concerned, he had the authority to do with it what he wanted. So I said, Ray, love you. If that's what you want, then let it be done. So we stepped away. We agreed that Julie and I would stay in place for as long as it took in Swansea to help the transition of the leadership, because my care was for the church, for the people, and I didn't want to see all the rumors start splitting everybody up and everything. So we stayed there, and we kept that unity going in the church. But I can remember a man coming up to me and saying to me, Phil, So what are you doing now? He was one of the leaders in the church. What are you doing now? I said, I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. He said, what's that? I said, nothing. Nothing. He wants me to be here for anyone who needs advice. So I'm doing nothing. And I had a period of 4 years where the Lord would come to me often and say, well, you're not actually doing nothing, Phil. You're learning how to be my child. You're learning to become someone and not just try to do something. I keep going backwards. There we go. This is how Jehoash died. And I'm finishing with this. 2 Kings 12, 20-21. Now his servants, this is Jehoash, arose and formed a conspiracy and killed Jehoash in the house of Milo, which goes down to Silla. For Jozachar, the son of Shimeath, and Jozabad, the son of Shomer, his servants struck him, so he died, and they buried him with his fathers, and so on. This is really interesting when you look into it. So Jehoash has taken this path. He's stopped following the Lord, and he started following foreign gods. He started going the way that these high places wanted him to go. He started doing immoral stuff, things which were against the knowledge of God, and he started following this path, and the path led him to a place called Milo, which goes down to Silla. And while he is there, he dies. Milo means fullness, and Silla means exalting. So he got to the end of the path where the fullness of sin had exalted itself against the knowledge of God. That's when he died. And the two things that killed him, Jozachar and Jozabad. You may remember in Ephesians, Jesus spoke to his church at Ephesus and said to them, "You've lost your first love. You be careful now. You be careful now because I'm going to come." Return to your first love. Jozachar means whom Jehovah has remembered. Jozabad means whom Jehovah gave. He took his eye off the two closest people in his life to serve him. He took his eye off the fact that Jehovah had remembered him in his sin, and Jehovah had given to him his son. First love. He took his eyes off his first love. And Jehoash's name means the fire of God. He went down that path too long, and he lost the fire of God. The fire of God died in him. Sin is deceitful. It will kill you. I'm finishing on this scripture. I am finishing on this scripture. Can you put the next one up, please? Yes, all right. See this in the light of what we're talking about. When we're tempted, we're drawn away by our own desires and enticed. We're enticed by the demonic. Thoughts, reasonings, imaginations appealing to us. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. So we start acting upon it. We start worshiping at these altars. And then sin when it is full grown, fullness, when you reach Milo. And it exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It brings forth death. Jehoiada died because he didn't address the issues. And I'm not talking about physically now. I'm talking about our walk with God. Do we want to keep this fire going? Let's pray. We're going to be taking communion. But we're going to do a dual thing here. I'm going to ask people now to just take a few moments and think about some of the behaviors in your life. Because I do believe that the Lord wants to set us free. He wants to destroy these high places, these thought patterns we have, these beliefs. What are the beliefs that you have that are hindering you? You see, high places were on four different things in the Bible. They were on mountains, which refers to hindrances and obstacles. They were on battlefields, which refers to fear, pain, stress, confusion. They are in places of worship, whereas we become devoted to something that we know is not of God. And they were on funeral mounds, because they will bring death. So I would ask every one of us, let's just close our eyes for a moment. Men, we can see what you do, but who are you behind closed doors? What are you watching? What are you giving yourself over to bow down to and worship? What about the way you treat people in your life? What about even your self-image? Is there an altar in you that says, I'm useless? I can't amount to anything. I feel this and I feel that. Women, the same goes for the ladies. Who are we becoming? This is a moment now to lay down those high places at the altar of God. So we're going to pray in a moment. I'm going to ask if the Liberty Group leaders are going to come up. Not for prayer now, but if you need to come up for prayer, come up for prayer. But if not, come up and pray for your Liberty Group members, eldership team. We're going to pray that there's some breakages here today. There's some freedom to take place here today. Maybe you lost control of a situation in your life, something that you do. You found that you just can't break it. Maybe somebody else needs to come and flip and drive it out for you. And we're going to take communion as well. Hallelujah. If I can ask everyone to stand now then, please. Those of you that want prayer for something you need to deal with, when you come out, this is what you do. You admit it, you repent of it, and you renounce it. Because it doesn't belong in your life. You were deceived. Break it now. Come out, admit it, repent of it, and renounce it, because you don't want it anymore. And receive freedom, forgiveness, wholeness. And for those of you that just want to come before the Lord and thank Him, it's a dual thing. We are meant to be doing. At the same time, we're meant to be becoming. Don't neglect either. Both. Let's pray. Guys, if you want to come forward for prayer, come forward for prayer. Those of you that want to come before the Lord and take communion, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ has paid for freedom. Come and thank God for freedom.